Welcome to another episode of The Lord's Delight. Today, I want to speak about hope. We are in that season. In fact, today is Christmas. So I wish you all a very happy Christmas. And this is the day that so many people were waiting for, Messiah, the hope, the Savior to be born. So I want to talk about hope. It's a happy feeling a lot of people associated with hope. A lot of time it is not like that. It is harder to hope, especially after disappointment, or let me clarify that. We expect something to happen based on a promise God gives us, but when He gives it in a very different way, it disappoints us. But we need to be able to, it's okay to have that feeling. You can't deny it. It's the truth. But the hope I'm speaking about is a little different. First, I want to talk about in Genesis 26, verses from 12 to 33, there was famine in the land, which means it is not conducive to agriculture. But guess what? God asked Isaac to sow in that land. He did. And in the same year, God blessed him with 100-fold. So in the famine, it doesn't make sense worldly, like common sense or even what would other farmers say. Save your seeds or do something else. But guess what? There is a hope when Isaac obeyed and sowed that God would show up. He did. So it's your hope is not just like in wishing, right? Here, there was an action and there was a lot to be lost. It would have hurt him tremendously because he had so much cattle, so much people who were dependent on him. He still sowed the seed and guess what? God showed up. And then I want to talk to you about this guy in John 5. It is about the man healed at the pool of Bethesda. Here it says, Jesus went up to Jerusalem and there is a pool by the sheep gate, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, and it has 5 porches. And there were a lot of, and it actually says a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame and paralyzed. And you need to remember, great multitude is the same word used when the Israelites left Egypt. Do you know how many people left? When they say a great multitude, it's a lot of people. And here, again it says, by the pool of Bethesda, a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame and paralyzed, were waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. And next, if you read verse 5, it says, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And not 1, 2, 10, 12, 38 years. He had hope that sometime he'll be able to be the first one to get into that pool. When Jesus saw him lying there, knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he approaches him and asks him, do you want to be healed? But his answer was not yes, sir. He was like, I have nobody to help me to get into the pool. He was looking for the healing in a certain way. And then Jesus says to him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Immediately the man was made well. And it's such 38 years. And he waited for somebody, a human being, to help him to the pool. Isn't that just a crazy hope? And I want you to look at Romans 4, 18 to 22. Here it talks about Abraham. He is called the father of faith, right? He waited such a long time for an impossible promise, what seemed like an impossible promise, because he and Sarah were very old, and it didn't seem like she actually had her menopause. it didn't look like, how on earth in a worldly sense will they have kids? And guess what? They did. Abraham had to wait such a long time, but I just love this verse. You know what it says in Romans 4:18-22? Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. He didn't deny the facts. It says that without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts. His body was dead. He was about 100 years old. Sarah's womb was not closed. It says it was dead. He faced all these facts without the weakening in his faith. And it says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He never wavered. You know how awesome of a faith that is. He still had hope. He was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. He was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. And that is the kind of faith and hope you and I need to have. And I don't want to finish there, because a lot of times, yes, we need faith, and God has given us different measures for different people. But hope is sometimes we don't realize is a product of something else. What I mean by that is, read Romans 5:3-5 in your own spare time. I'll also read it for you now. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So if you look at this process, when you go through suffering, it produces perseverance, and that perseverance produces character, and that character produces hope, gives you hope. So it's not something you generate on your own. It is based on faith. But when you go through suffering, you persevere. And that perseverance gives you character. And the character gives you hope. And that hope will not put us to shame, because God's love is pouring that into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So that is what I want to talk about today. That hope, yes, it comes from faith. Like what Abraham's testimony was given in Romans by a New Testament person, right? This was not his, like, people look back and God, it has been revealed to them. That's what they say, why the faith was credited to him as righteousness. It's because, one, he faced all the facts that were against the promise with unwavering faith. And two, it didn't weaken his faith. All these facts, he was not in denial, but he was also not wavering. He had such faith in the power of God that he has the power to do what he has promised. Even it seems like illogical or irrational or worldly ways that it can never come to pass, he believed in the power of God. And as you and I struggle, when God gives promises, sometimes they don't come true immediately, right? You see a promise, but then you struggle. Guess what? There is a reason that suffering produces perseverance in you. And the perseverance, as you persevere through the suffering, produces character in you, which God wants, and that gives you the hope, the unwavering faith to actually believe in what God has promised. So in this season of holiday season, wherever you are in your life, remember that we have a God who is able to do what he promised. And he's not a god who lies. He cannot lie. That's part of his character. But the way he brings it to pass might not be how you and I want or desire. It might be a little different, and that's okay. So disappointments, deal with them, take them to God. Just keep relying back on God. Hope. That is what I want to speak into you today. We have a God who looks at the man who was suffering for 38 years and was able to heal without him going through that thing of being taken to the water. We have a God who can just heal with just words. Have hope. That guy had hope for 38 years when he needed another man's help to get healed. Abraham. Worldly level, there was nothing supporting the promise that God gave him. But guess what? The promise came through. He did not waver. Abraham did not waver in his faith. It did not weaken his faith. Don't let the facts weaken your faith. But that doesn't mean you deny him. You know what the facts are, but you face it without the weakening of your faith. And the same way, if God tells you to go sow when it is a famine, go do it, because we have a God who can bless us 100-fold during the famine. So have hope. Have hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.